Also would like to announce that if you came to church this morning without a Bible, there are Bibles on the back table for you to snatch up and look on. We'd like you to read the text with us this morning as we study God's Word. Let's pray. Let's ask for God's blessing on this morning's Bible study. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would quiet our hearts, that we would have hearts ready to hear what you would speak to us from your word. And Lord, that our ears would not only be ready to hear, but our hearts would be ready to apply. That we would walk in the truth that we learned this morning. Lord, we do submit ourselves before your word. We admit that it is your word. And we ask, Lord, that it would affect us, that it would change us, that it would refresh us, that it would exhort us this morning. Teach us by your Holy Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. George MacDonald, a wonderful Christian man and scholar who is now in heaven, made the following statement concerning the will of God and our responsibility to it. He said, "To will the will of God in himself and for himself and concerning himself is the highest possible condition of a man." Let me rephrase that a little. The highest possible condition of a man is to will the will of God in himself and for himself and concerning himself. To George MacDonald, it was very important that the Christian walk in the will of God. And certainly, the will of God should be of utmost concern for every single Christian, everyone. To know the will of God, to walk in the will of God, should be a high concern. But unfortunately, the will of God is oftentimes confusing to Christians. It can be a confusing subject, even though the desire to walk in the will of God is there. In fact, I think it would be safe to say that if any committed Christian was asked whether or not he or she thought it was important to walk in the will of God, the answer would be an enthusiastic yes, absolutely. But if you were to follow that question with, well, are you walking in the will of God? Do you know the will of God? That might be a less certain response. Questions like that can pose confusing looks on the face of some Christians. How many times have you cried out or heard a brother or sister cry out, "Oh, if I only knew the will of God in this situation. If I only had a clearer understanding of God's will in the situation." Maybe there's someone here and there's a decision that you're having to make and you wish you knew what God's will was. Which decision to take? It can be confusing at times. For others, the will of God is confusing because of past or present tragedies. You may be here this morning and you're going through a tragedy, a trial. And you're saying, "Why, God? Is this your will?" Or perhaps you've had a past tragedy, the death of a loved one. Something very painful in the past, and it causes you to look back and you're confused and you say, "Well, was that the will of God? Why?" Now, I confess and I admit with all of you, there are many things that happen in this life that we cannot understand. I don't understand them. I can't rationalize them. Things happen. I hear of a tragedy that happens to a family in the church here, or friends, or whatever, and I say, "God, why? How?" That's our first reaction. Well, at times like that, you need to remember that the Bible says God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And oftentimes, in times like that, I will just simply pray that, "Lord, I'm hurt. I don't understand. I can't rationalize this. But I just want you to know that I know your ways are not my ways." Your thoughts are not my thoughts. And you know what? I don't understand it, but I trust you, Lord. I judge you, Lord, as faithful, even though I can't understand it. Now, while there may be many or some uncertainties concerning the will of God from a human perspective, I believe there are many more certainties concerning the will of God. The will of God for our lives is revealed in black and white on the pages of Scripture. That's a lot of will of God here, in black and white. And the Bible speaks to almost practically every situation that man can find himself in. Marriage, parents, children, working, loving one another. The Bible speaks to those issues. And there are certainties for the Christian concerning his will. In fact, the Bible also says that to some extent you can know the will of God. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." So it would seem to show that to some extent we can know God's will. And the Bible is replete with examples of men and women to whom God revealed His will. Now, to some of them, He revealed His will very specifically with great detail. Consider Daniel the prophet. Remember, we studied him. And great details of history were revealed to him. But to others, God revealed His way in a general sense, leaving a lot of the specifics out. And that would leave the individual in a curious position. It would leave him in the position to take a step of faith into the general direction of God's will. Such is the case of Abraham and Sarah, the characters of our faith file, our message this morning. Abraham and Sarah model for us faith stepping out. And that's what we want to look at this morning. Stepping out into God's will in general, perhaps not knowing the specifics. Let's read our text, starting in verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." Before us this morning, we have two examples that we want to investigate. Two examples of faith stepping out into the general will of God. First of all, in verses 8 through 10, we see Abraham being called to, by faith, step out into a promised land. And then in verses 11 and 12, we see Abraham and Sarah, by faith, stepping out into a promised posterity. Two situations. Now, here's what we want to do with each one of them this morning. We first of all want to discover what exactly was the will of God in each of those situations. What was God's will? What does the text say? And then secondly, for each situation, we want to ask and determine if there were any obstacles to them stepping out in faith. And then thirdly, we want to look at the actions that they took in their step of faith. Now, be on the lookout this morning, because I think this is going to hit us where we live. How to take a step of faith into the general direction of God's will. We're going to see the examples of Abraham and Sarah, and let's learn from them. Let's, first of all, for a few minutes, concentrate on that first situation. Abraham being called to, by faith, step out into a promised land. What was the will of God in that situation? Well, the most obvious statement we can make concerning the will of God in this situation is that it was God's will to use the man Abraham. God called Abraham for this task. It was His will to use Abraham. It says in verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out. Abraham was a called man. He was called for this task. God chose him to fulfill this particular portion of His will. It was God's will to use Abraham. Now, no doubt, there were probably many others alive and well on planet Earth at that time. Abraham had lots of family members. There were other citizens of the city that he lived in, I'm certain of. But God didn't choose them. God chose Abraham. Abraham was God's choice. Now, Abraham is probably one of the most loved characters in the Bible. He's known as the father of the nation of Israel. In a broader sense, he's known as the father of faith. Lots of marvelous things were done in in Abraham's life by God. The covenantal blessing was given to him. All families will be blessed through your family, Abraham. Abraham was known as the friend of God. God Himself would later be referred to as the God of Abraham. God did marvelous things in the lives of Abraham. But you need to understand, he was flesh and blood. He was just a guy. He was an ordinary guy. He was born into the household of a man named Terah. He had a normal childhood in the city of Ur. He didn't have a halo. He was a normal guy, just called out by God. One day, growing up as a child, and God looked at him and called Abraham. Zeke, could you turn on the air conditioner? It's getting a little hot in here.
Thanks a lot.
So he was just a normal guy. And God used him. God called him. Now let me ask you, what makes God choose men and women? Why does God choose who He does? Have you ever wondered about that? Why did God choose Abraham? Why? Were there some qualifications that he had? Did he stand out on the earth? No, he was just a normal guy. In fact, the way a man would choose another man or woman for an act of service is much different than the way God chooses people, isn't it? God chooses people much differently than we do. What do we look at? We look at credentials, man. Qualifications, stature, physical beauty, smartness, intelligence, talents. That's what we look at. But God is always looking at the heart. In fact, you remember when King David was called to be king. Remember when the prophet Samuel came to be looking for a king from the house of Jesse, of the city of Bethlehem? Samuel came and they paraded all his sons. They were looking for the king. And all of David's older brothers came by and they were so tall and they were such kingly appearance. And Samuel said, oh, wow, look at him. Surely he's the next king. He looks the part, man. But God said, I don't look at the external matters. I look at the heart. God didn't call them. He said, wait a minute, where's all the other brothers? Well, we do have one other brother. His name's David, but he's just a little shepherd boy. He's out on the hill somewhere tending sheep. Just a young kid. Well, go get him. Have him parade. David came up and God saw him and said, this is the anointed one. He wasn't physically impressive, but God looked at him on the heart. And brothers and sisters, remember that. It's not external qualifications. It's your internal heart. God is always looking at the heart when He chooses men and women for service. He's always looking at the heart. Thank you. It's hot up here. Woo! That's good. Thank you. God is always looking at the heart. Now, what else does God look at when He chooses people for service? The Bible says that God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. The weak things of the world to shame those that were strong. Listen, that's a good indication of, that's a beautiful thing about God. He doesn't look at the external qualifications, He looks at the internal. His desire is to use the weak things of the world to strengthen those, to confound the wise. It's God's will to use ordinary people like Abraham. It's God's will to choose Abraham. It was also God's will to move Abraham. Pretty obvious from the text. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God's will for Abraham was to move Abraham from different localities, from one locality to another locality. That was God's will for Abraham. Now let's turn left to Genesis chapter 12 and look at this call a little bit closer. Keep your finger here. And let's look at this promise or this will for Abraham's life. What a thing God asked Abraham to do. Starting in verse 31 of chapter 11, it says, and Terah took his son, Abram, and his grandson, Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law, Sarai, his son Abram's wife. And they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, or Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram was growing up in the land of Ur, and at one point the Lord came to him and said, move. Get out of the country. Now we're blowing away up here. Get out of the country. Go. Leave. Get out of Dodge, Abraham. It was God's will for him to move. To take off. Now let me ask you. Do you think there would be any barriers to this kind of being asked to do this? I mean, the writer of Hebrews tells us that he went out not knowing where he was going. And here it's kind of a curious statement. Go out, in verse 1 of chapter 12, to a land that I will show you. Wait a minute, Lord. I don't know about you, but I like to have a destination in mind when I leave the house. Now, the way some people drive, you'd wonder if they had a destination. Because they get in the right lane, the left lane, the right lane. They're doing U-turns. Kind of like what Kim and I did for an hour when Austin. We didn't know where we were going. We didn't have a destination. I like to have a destination. Abraham was not given a destination. Especially if you were moving. Wouldn't it be important to you to know where your U-Haul is going to end up? Where your sofa, where your furniture is going to end up? Abraham didn't have that. He had a general will of God. The specifics, many of them, were left out. Now that would have been tough, and I think that would have been the hardest part about this call on Abraham's life. Not knowing the specifics. What other obstacles, though, do you see that may have kept Abraham from believing God, from stepping out in faith? Well, inherent in the call is the fact that God, in asking him to move, was asking Abraham to leave the security of friends and family. And that's a tough one. Look, right in that call, verse 1, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house. Leave close relatives. Leave your friends, Abram. Go out to, well, I'm not telling you yet, but leave your family. Would that have been difficult? You bet that would have been difficult. You bet that could have been an obstacle. You may read this morning and say, well, that's no big deal. Hey, look, families are separated by distance all the time now. Yeah, but we live in a smaller world because of technology today. I can get on a plane and be anywhere on this planet in less than 24 hours. I can email. I can make phone calls. I can do faxes. I got a car. I can drive around. We need to understand that Abraham didn't have email. There was no America Online in his day. There were no TWA airlines. When God called Abraham to move and to change localities, it could have been that this would be the very last time that he would ever see his family and friends again. You bet it was a big deal. The other barrier I see here is that, hey, he was called to leave a progressive city. Abraham was a city boy. And he was being called to go into the country to live in a tent. He left the city called Ur, which is a very prominent city. Today it's located in present-day Iraq. Very close, not too close, about 350 kilometers southeast of Baghdad. In its day, it had harbor facilities on the Euphrates River. It was a very progressive city. It was one of the three most prominent cities at that time. And God, in asking Abraham to move, was asking Abraham to leave the many conveniences of an already established city, to live like a Bedouin tent dweller out in the land of Canaan. This was a tough thing God asked him to do. He asked him to step out. God, many times, asks us as Christians to do tough things, to step out in faith. And there are barriers. You know that family can still be a barrier to obeying the Lord? I mean, moving away from home is not as big a deal as it was with Abraham. But did you know that sometimes God asks you to do something that maybe might rock the boat in your family? God might ask you to do something that family members won't approve of. We are to obey God. Regardless of the barrier, we're to step out in faith. In fact, you know, Jesus said something very radical. He said, whoever loves mother or father more than me is not worthy of me. And then he said to the mother and father, whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, he was not saying to be disrespectful to mom and dad or not to love family, but he was making it very clear that as Christians, our priority is God. We are to obey God, though family members might be upset. That might be a real tough obstacle to deal with. But Abraham moved. He went out from his father's household. He obeyed the Lord. It was a struggle for Abraham. And the text shows it. In fact, the text seems to show that there might have been a little bit of procrastination. We read it awfully quickly in verse 1 of chapter 12, but let me read it to you again and let's slow down a little bit. It said, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house. Whoa! the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country. That means that he had said somewhere in the past, this call was made to Abraham. Perhaps when he was still living in Ur. But instead of going straight to Canaan, it looks like he went with his father to Haran for a while. And then when his father died, then they moved on to Canaan. So Abraham struggled, I believe. He was human. And then when he did leave, he packed up all his family and belongings. Nothing in the call says that he was supposed to bring all his kindred with him. But apparently he did bring some, as we see there. So Abraham struggled, and he may have procrastinated. But eventually he did make that step. He stepped out in faith. Now let's turn back to Hebrews 11 and look at some of those actions that he did in his faith, step of faith. Back in Hebrews chapter 11. Three verbs I want to point out in those verses. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Verse 9. By faith, he sojourned. And then in verse 10, he waited. Actions that Abraham took in stepping out by faith into the common will or the general will of God. First of all, he obeyed. What did he do? He went out. He did move. He left. He left the security of his father's house. He left the security of an established city. He took Sarah, his wife, his nephew, Lot, all their possessions and all their combined servants and immediate relatives. There they went, stepping out into the will of God. They believed. They obeyed. Though they didn't know the outcome, they obeyed. Now that's scary. God calls you to step out in a general direction, and you don't know what it's going to cost you. That's scary, isn't it? You've been there. Many of us have been there. Let obedience comfort you at that moment. You know it's God's will for you to obey no matter what, right? And so, obeying the Lord in an uncertain situation is comforting. Just simply obeying the Lord. Abraham wasn't given the specifics, but he left. He went. He obeyed. It's one action. The other action I find even more curious, though. It says, by faith he sojourned in verse 9. By faith he sojourned in his step of faith. That word sojourn we discussed a lot when we were going over 1 Peter. It has the idea of living in a temporary land. Living as a temporary resident in a foreign land. Just passing through. Living as a pilgrim. And that's what we're all called as Christians. We're called pilgrims, just passing through. Strangers in the land. Our real home is heaven. Now, what I find so interesting about this is the fact that he sojourned, in verse 9, in the land of promise. He got to the land of promise, and yet he sojourned. Abraham got to the will of God in his life, and yet he sojourned. It's interesting to me that once he didn't get there, he didn't, hey, secure a lease, get a mortgage, build a house. No, it says he lived as a tent dweller. He sojourned. Now that's an interesting thing. I think that says something very important about Abraham. Even when he got to a place in his life where he knew that he was in the will of God, he still lived as a sojourner. He still recognized that, hey, all we see around us, it's temporary. Even if you're at the will of God, here in this earth, in this life, we need to recognize that this is temporary. Our real home is heaven. Because you know what? I found out that if we think we're in the will of God, If we were ever to get to that point where we arrived at the will of God, here we are. We've got to our promised land. We're in the will of God. What is our tendency when we begin to think like that? Kickback time. We made it. Hey, I've got to this thing. I know God called me to do it. Well, here I am. Now, it's smooth sailing, right? Let's hang out. Let's not hang out. Let's sojourn. By faith, Abraham sojourned. He recognized even in this life, when you get to the will of God, when you find the will of God, when you believe in your heart that you're living in the will of God, still, even then, it's temporary. Because God's ultimate will for us is for us to be with Him in heaven. And look, we see that very clearly. That's what Abraham was thinking in verse 10. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. No matter where Abraham was, he was waiting. He was waiting for the better thing. He was waiting for heaven. And that's something that we should be reminded as we take steps of faith into the will of God. That once you get there, don't relax. But sojourn. The ultimate will of God for your life, Christian, is for you to be with Him in heaven. To live with Him. Jesus Christ, in His high priestly prayer, the night before He was arrested, in John chapter 17, He made this prayer concerning Christians. I want to just speak it to you. He said, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. What's the will of Christ for you, Christian? For you to be with Him. Ultimately in heaven, face to face. And so no matter where you are in life, in this life, whether you view that you are in the will of God or you don't know, you're looking, you're confused, hey, always, always remember, we have the heart of heaven beating in our bodies as Christians. So no matter where we are in life, waiting for that ultimate time is part of stepping out by faith. We wait for Him. Let's move to our second situation then, very quickly. Verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. By faith, Abraham stepped out into a promised land. In these verses, we see that by faith, Abraham and Sarah stepped into a promised posterity. And just as it was God's will to choose Abraham, it was God's will to choose Sarah to be the mother of the nation of Israel. Now, Sarah is the first heroine of faith, mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11. Obviously, she was married to Abraham. We know that she was also Abraham's half-sister. She traveled with Abraham from Ur to Haran. Then at 65 years old, she left with Abraham to Canaan. So she embarked on that journey of faith, that move that God called them to. Eventually, her name was Sarai, meaning princess. And what we know Sarah most for is the fact that she was barren.
She was without child. She could not have a child naturally. The son that she would have would be born to her supernaturally in her old age. That's what we remember about Sarah. God chose her. And I believe God chose her for a very difficult course, a long course of frustration. She was supposed to be the mother of a nation, and yet she was barren. She couldn't have kids. How frustrating that must have been. And Sarah did struggle with her faith, as we will find out, but she did eventually come through. It was God's will to choose Sarah. It was also God's will, we see very clearly here, to give them a family, to give Abraham and Sarah a son. Not just a normal family, however, there was a great promise on their family. God was to give Abraham and Sarah a son, and from that son, from their posterity, would be the nation of Israel. And even beyond that, not just physical descendants, but from their line would come the promised seed, Jesus Christ, who would then give Abraham many spiritual descendants, those who belong to the family of God by faith. That was God's will. God's will was to start a family, to start a nation, to bless every family through their family. That was their will. That was God's will for Sarah and Abraham. What were the obstacles here in this situation? Barrenness, quite frankly. She was barren. Abraham was 75 years old and Sarah was 65 years old when they received this promise. Guess how old they were when they had Isaac? Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. There was a 25-year wait for this child. 25 years. That's a long time. Especially considering all the promises they were being given by the Lord. God would come to Abraham and Sarah and he would say, I'm going to turn you into a great nation. I'll make your name great. Your nation will be great. Your people will be blessed. Oh, and God said to Abraham, Abraham's original name was Abram, which means father is exalted. But he got his name changed. God came to him and said, you are now called Abraham, which means father of a multitude. Because you're going to have a great nation come from your seed. And Abraham's going, great. Where's my son? These promises were being made, and yet they were without child. Promises were being made to Sarah, who for 25 years heard those promises, believed in those promises, and yet she could not conceive. Now, hey, I don't think I can understand the hurt that a woman feels who's barren. I've heard testimonies that that is one of the most difficult things for any woman to go through, or a marriage to go through. Barrenness. And yet imagine being promised by the Lord that a great nation would come from you. And for 25 years you're hoping, you're waiting. And yet you're barren. There's no child. What an obstacle. That could have been, and I'm sure it was. It was frustrating many times. In fact, we know that Sarah had a hard time with it. She really did. At one point in Genesis, three angels came to visit Abraham. You remember this story? And the angels told Abraham, he said, again, the promise, we're going to make your name great. The great nation's going to come from you. And
Sarah was hiding behind the front door of the tent. And the scripture said that when the angels told her that, she laughed. She laughed. And the angels busted her on it. He said, hey, why did your wife laugh, Abraham? So she said, I didn't laugh. The angel said, yes, you did. You laughed. Admit it. How awesome that when she would later have a son, she would name him Isaac, which means laughter. Sarah said, God has made me laugh. And all who hear will laugh with me. That's why she named him Isaac. Probably from that event that took place. God really did give her genuine laughter, joy, when she gave her Isaac. But we also know another story concerning Sarah. Remember, they took matters into their own hand at one point concerning this situation, didn't they? Remember the story of Hagar and Ishmael? Sarah got frustrated. She got impatient. And so she said, Abraham, here, take the concubine. Hagar, have relations. Maybe God wants to fulfill it that way. And so they had Ishmael. And you know that that became a problem. They tried to take matters into their own hands. God wanted to give Abraham and Sarah a child. And he did that. Look at her actions in verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. They wait till old age. God waits till it's impossible. And then she gave Sarah that beautiful little boy, that Isaac, whom she named Laughter. She just received strength. This was something that Sarah could not do. She was physically unable. And so by faith, she received strength from the Lord. And listen, if God has a will for you, and He does, and if you are in God's will, you will have strength to complete God's will, because God will provide it. As a Christian, all we must do is receive strength from the Lord to accomplish what He has called us to do. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, again, let's get back to that issue of a difficult thing. They were asked difficult things to do. There were barriers. They didn't know the repercussions of things. There was frustrating. God may be calling us to do difficult things. Obstacles in place. But rest assured, my friend, if God has asked you to do something, He will strengthen you to do it. He will strengthen you to do it. You can rely on that. Obey. Take that step into the general direction of what you know to be God's will. He'll strengthen you. He'll help you. I also love what it says there, that by faith Sarah also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful, who is promised. She was able to step out by faith, though it was hard. In the final analysis, Sarah is listed here in Hebrews chapter 11, because she judged him as faithful. That he would keep the promise. Oh, 25 years, man. 25 years. How long do we have to wait for certain promises? But she judged him as faithful. Do that this morning, Christian. Is there something that you've been waiting for a long time, a prayer request, or something you've been praying about for many years? Consider Sarah this morning. Consider Abraham this morning. Look at what God asked them to do. Look at the way God provided for them. The same way, brother and sister, that He provided for Abraham and Sarah, He will provide for us. He's faithful. And we are to judge Him as faithful, no matter what. The will of God is not always clear-cut. And in many of our lives, many times, God gives us His will in general. There are general principles in this book. There are not a lot of specifics like who you're going to marry. You won't open the Bible and find out who you're going to marry in this book. You won't open the Bible and find out. I didn't read this to say, now Terry, in Hebrews 12, verse 12, it says, Terry, thou must go to El Paso, Texas. I didn't read that. The specifics weren't there. There are principles, general principles revealed of God's will. And let me ask you this morning, will you step out by faith in the general direction of God's will? That is what God asks of us to do. That's what God asked Abraham and Sarah to do. They did it. Even though it wasn't clear cut. And God gave them more light as they took each step. By faith, stepping out. We've seen some obstacles this morning. Leaving family and friends. You may be hanging around some friends that are bringing you down. And you know it. And God has called you to serve Him in a particular way. To get some things out of your life. Well, hey. God told Abraham, get out from your country, leave your kindred, come into the promised land. He may be asking the same here as well. Families, although there's deep love and security and respect among them, should not be an obstacle to us obeying the Lord. Not seeing the outcome. Long periods of waiting. These are all obstacles that they dealt with. But in that, by faith, they stepped out. They obeyed the Lord. They sojourned. They waited. They received strength. And they were willing to surrender their will to His. Kim and I were very blessed over the last couple nights. Actually, Friday and Saturday, we were in Austin at a regional pastors' conference. And Pastor Chuck Smith was there that Friday night in dedicating the Calvary Chapel of Austin. They did a special Friday night service. And, you know, he's in his 70s. And he's been ministering for years and years and years. And one of the things he said that was so profound and it was so comforting to me, he said, you know, after however many years he's been in ministry, he can look back and remember that there were so many confusing times. Things that were happening that he didn't understand. Having a difficult time discerning the will of God. And I thought, wow, Chuck? I thought God talked to him. Specifically. No, but here he is. He said, though, hindsight is 20/20, and in his 70s he was able to look back and say that all along the way my Savior led me. All along the way. What an encouragement that was to me. That though I can't understand the will of God, many times, sometimes, it's uncertain, that I can know it in general and I can take steps of faith into the general direction of God's will. And one day you'll look back and you'll say, all along the way my Savior led me. You'll be able to see it. Abraham took that step. There was a cowboy who applied for health insurance. And the agent routinely asked if he had had any accidents during the previous year. The cowboy replied, no. But I was bitten by a rattlesnake and I had a horse kick me in the ribs. That laid me up for a while. The agent said, weren't those accidents? No, replied the cowboy. They did it on purpose. The cowboy recognized that there were no accidents. Christian, God is in control of your life. God has a will for your life. You may not see it all very clearly, but you'll see the next step. Take it. Take that step. As Abraham and Sarah did, so we should do also. There may be someone here this morning who does not know Jesus at all. Has never even really thought about the will of God. What do you mean God has a... What? I've never thought about it. God has a will for you. The Bible says that it is God's will that no one perish, but that all come to a knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if you will give your life to Him, if you will receive Him as your Lord and Savior, He will make you a child of God, set you on a highway to heaven, waiting for that heavenly city that we will all enjoy one day. That's His will. If you don't know Jesus this morning, give your life to Him this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the example of Abraham and Sarah. Lord, we thank You that You have made it possible for us to come into a relationship with You by Your Son. And that in Your sovereign will, You love man. You love us. You care about us. And You sent Your Son to die on a cross for our sins. I ask, Lord, that if there would be anyone here this morning that knows in their heart that they do not know You, they do not have a relationship with You, they're not walking with You, they've never even considered Your will, I ask, Lord, by Your Holy Spirit, that You would take captive of their hearts, that You would draw them into a relationship with You. A genuine relationship. And I just want to extend that invitation to anyone here this morning. If you know you need a relationship with the Lord, enter into that relationship this morning with a simple prayer inviting Jesus to be Lord of your life, to save you from sin. Simple prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Thank You for dying on the cross and bearing my punishment
And then thank you that you rose again and you're alive today to live in me and through me, that I might have a living relationship with you. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. I want to be born again. Then I would also pray for all of us, Lord, who want to do your will. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to take the appropriate steps. That by faith we would step out into your will, as Abraham and Sarah did. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.
Unto the King invisible, the only wise God, the only wise God. Oh, unto the King be glory and honor, unto the King forever. Unto the King be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Amen.
We praise you, Lord. We bless you. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. If anyone said that prayer this morning, please come forward and tell us about it, that we might give you some help, some counsel on how to begin your new life with Jesus. Please come forward and make that known. God bless you, and we'll see you at the picnic.